The Old Testament reading for the last Sunday of the church year is from Malachi chapter 3. Your words have been hard against me, says the Lord. But you say, how have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his charge, or of walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession. And I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you will see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 23rd chapter.
Glory to you,
And there followed Jesus a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, This is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said, Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If ever there were someone who could have rightly spoken hard words against the Lord, it was Jesus. Hanging there, dying on a cross, mocked and ridiculed by leaders of the Jews, Roman soldiers, and condemned criminals. If anyone ever had a case, it was him. Jesus had never sinned. Never. Not once had he returned evil for evil. Rather, he was kind and loving, even to those who made themselves his enemies. Never had his trust in God wavered. Never had he questioned the Father's love or doubted his power and will to fulfill his promises. And yet, look what happened to Jesus. Surely, if ever there were someone who could have rightly spoken hard words against the Lord, it was Jesus. Held down on the cross as the nails were being pounded in, he could have quoted Malachi. It is vain to serve God. What is the profit of my keeping his charge or of walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? Suspended on the cross, seeing those hurling insults and blasphemies at him, he had reason to complain. Look at all the blessings these arrogant people enjoy. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape. Where is God's justice? If ever there were someone who could have rightly spoken hard words against the Lord, it was Jesus. And yet, what did he say? Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Then from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And finally, to a criminal being executed with him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus was green wood, a living tree continuously producing good fruit to God's glory, righteousness and compassion, mercy and love. If they do these things when the wood is green, the forerunner had warned, even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. The daughters of Jerusalem, and you and I, don't need to look very closely in the mirror of God's law to see our dryness. Far too often, we let love of self take precedence in our lives over love for God and love of neighbor. It's not simply that we sin daily in our failure to be kind and compassionate to others, in assuming the worst about them, and treating them far differently than we would like to be treated, far worse than what we do or fail to do, is what we are. Sinners, rebels against God. He made us. He richly and daily provides us with all that we need to support this body and life. Above all, he has given his Son into death to redeem us. And what do we do? More often than not, we fail to thank him. We don't praise him to others. We look for excuses not to serve him. And we obey him only when it suits us. Even with all that he's done for us, rather than trust him, we worry. And when things don't go our way, we complain. And we don't even recognize that these things are rebellion against him, doubting his goodness and questioning his power or will to fulfill his promise. Kindling is what we are by nature, dried out and ready for the judgment fire. No wonder Jesus says, "Do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." Mourn over your sin. Produce the fruits of repentance, so that when that day comes, when God finally reveals the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, You will not be swept away with the great multitude of those who have not feared the Lord, who have not esteemed his name. Jesus is saying, repent. Repent so that you will not perish. More than that, though, Jesus prays. Prays for forgiveness for those who were sinning against him. It boggles the mind, doesn't it? We have enough trouble forgiving a person who comes to us humbly and confesses his wrong. I'm sure you've heard it. I'll forgive, but I won't forget. And that when there's sorrow and repentance. There was nothing even approaching repentance at the place called the skull. Not even recognition they were doing anything wrong. But Jesus doesn't wait for that. No, while they were still sinning against him, he prays for their forgiveness. What mercy, what love our Savior shows here. Truly, he doesn't want anyone to perish, and so he prays for their forgiveness. He prays for your forgiveness too. Even now, he is interceding for you at the right hand of God. The Bible says very plainly, he always lives to make intercession for you. He stands now in the presence of God in heaven on your behalf. Our Lord Jesus prayed for forgiveness for those who crucified him. And though you sin against him daily, he prays for your forgiveness too. The crowd at Calvary scoffed at Jesus, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. They also mocked him. If you are King of the Jews, save yourself. Little did these people know that Jesus truly was and is a king. Indeed, is King of all kings and Lord over every Lord. More than just the Jews, he rules the entire universe as king of all creation. But they were right. He could not save himself. Not if he wanted to save others. Those rulers and soldiers, all lost and helpless sinners. He was on the cross to crush the serpent's head, to destroy Satan's power. He truly was and is God's anointed one, chosen and sent to save sinners. He came into the world so that following a life of perfect obedience, by his death on the cross, he could destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil. He could have appealed to his Father, who would at once have sent him more than 12 legions of angels to deliver him from his accusers and executioners. But this king loved his rebellious subjects even more than his own life. He willingly endured the suffering and scoffing and mocking, even death, even being forsaken by his Father. And he endured it all for the joy of being able to save you and a whole world of sinners from eternal punishment in hell. We actually see that happening in the closing verses of our text. St. Matthew reports that both robbers who were crucified with Jesus mocked him. At some point, however, one of them did an about-face. Somehow, perhaps it was through the mocking words being thrown at Jesus, the fear of God came over him. He acknowledged that he was getting what he deserved, that he had earned execution by what he had done. He didn't ask Jesus to save him from death on a cross, but he did have a request. "Jesus," he said, "remember me when you come into your kingdom." Thank God that he led this criminal to pray this prayer. For in Jesus' response, we see the doors of heaven opened wide. Jesus answers the trusting plea of the one dying beside him. "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." What mercy shown to one who had lived as an enemy of God. What comfort given to one who had afflicted others. What grace promised to one who knew he deserved nothing. In fact, he received everything. Forgiveness, life, salvation, innocence, righteousness, blessedness. He received everything because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in him, though he dies, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in him shall never die forever. The King of love, enthroned on the cross, is the righteousness of God for helpless sinners. This thief dies a blessed death with the sure promise of eternal paradise with the Lord, because his Savior was dying for him. And not just for him, but for every sinner ever. On the cross, Jesus paid the price for your sin. In his death, you have salvation. He is your Savior. The stain of your sin is obliterated by his blood. That you might know this, that you might believe it with all your heart, he sent me to proclaim to you his forgiveness. I forgive you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So that you might know this, so that you might believe it with all your heart, he has come to you again this day through his word, revealing his love, his sacrifice for you. So that you might know this, so that you might believe it with all your heart, he comes to you again this day in the supper, uniting with you, giving you the price he paid for your salvation. As you come forward, you will receive from him his body on your tongue, and his holy precious blood flowing down your throat. In his true body and blood, with the bread and the cup, he bestows on you forgiveness, strengthens you in faith, and provides a foretaste today of being with him forever in paradise. The day is coming when Jesus will return with the clouds. Then the distinction between the righteous and the wicked will be revealed. The distinction between those who have trusted in the Lord Christ and those who had no use for him. On that day, the King will welcome every sinner who trusted in him, saying, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Truly I say to you, today and for all eternity, you will be with me in paradise." The Lord in his mercy grant this to you all. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.